Live from the Pella Windows and Doors of Wisconsin Mobile Studio, it's Wisconsin's Afternoon News on the shores of Lake Michigan. Now, here are your hosts, John McCure and Julia Fellow.
Oh my gosh, beautiful Summerfest Day 2. The President and CEO, Sarah Pancari, will be with us live coming up here in about 5 minutes on WTMJ. First, I want to get you new information on one of the coolest things we do in Wisconsin all summer long. I love it. It's EAA Air Venture. It's getting closer. Dick Napinski is the Director of Communications at EAA, and he is with us tonight. Hi, Dick.
Hey, how's it going? You're doing all the fun stuff here now instead of in the studio, huh?
Oh, man. Summer is absolutely the best, Dick. Let's start by talking about the American 250th, because you guys have a lot of stuff commemorating our big birthday, including something pretty cool by the Air Force.
Yeah, the Air Force is celebrating America 250th on opening night. That's July 20th. They're going to have a whole program at Theater in the Woods, and that includes a brand-new recruit swearing in as they enter the Air Force, an Air Force program. And then we just announced this yesterday. We're going to have a concert with country star Tyler Hubbard. He previously was with Florida Georgia Line. He is now on his own and making hits on his own. And anybody who has a weekly wristband or a Monday wristband, well, come on into the concert at Theater in the Woods. You're welcome to be there as part of it. So really love the Air Force stepping forward and making this possible. A little added bonus at the end of the day on Monday on opening night.
A Summerfest with wings. Isn't
right,
that nice?
Right, right.
And then there's Twilight Flight Fest. And that's Monday and Tuesday and Thursday and Friday nights.
That's right. Any night that we don't have a night air show, Julia, we have Twilight Flight Fest. It's down in the ultralight area, what we call the fun fly zone. You could see short takeoff and landing aircraft. You could see drones. You could see a lot of different things, paragliders that are lighted on that. And even last year, the Goodyear blimp made a stop when it was flying around one evening and just kind of cruised down the grass runway there at the south end of the field. So it's something special. We get a couple thousand people there each and every night that we have it, and just fun to be outside and watch more things fly.
What does that look like at night, a blimp?
A blimp, well, it's kind of fun because they've got their signboard on the side, so they're almost talking to people at that point, some of the things that they're saying. Mostly it's, you know, go buy tires. But a lot of it is, you know, just a lot of great messages that come through about Oshkosh, about Air Venture, about EAA. You know, they have been a part of this now for more than 50 years, off and on through the years. And maybe we'll get a blimp back this year. You never know. That's still something we're talking about.
I love the big military aircraft, Dick, and you guys really, really do this right every year. And there's something new coming from Dover that I know you're excited about. What is it?
Yeah, just finalized it this week. One of the massive C-5 cargo airplanes coming in from Dover Air Force Base. Great thing is it comes down on the ramp. Not only can you look at the outside and walk right up to it, you can walk through the inside and see how massive this is. C-5 delivers tanks and Humvees and all kinds of supplies to our military around the world. And so people will get that opportunity to walk through the inside, to talk to the crews on what they do. And I hear quite a few of the folks on this crew coming in are from Wisconsin as well, so we're looking forward to that.
You know, I'm not sure people realize how incredibly huge it is if you've never been to EAA. Tell me about your app. Does that help us get around?
It does. The app is something that just went live yesterday. Just go to eaa.org/app. It's good for Apple and Android devices. Has all the schedules, all the food places, has maps on it, all the things you need to know. Who's flying in the air show? What time does it start? Where can I go see this thing? Where's that airplane? All of those things are on the app. And so if you don't have access to a computer and all you have is your mobile device, you can still keep up at what's going on all throughout the grounds each and every day.
Early bird pricing's been extended. The campground opens next Friday. For all the information, go to the website. It's a really cool website, actually, EAA.org, EAA.org. Dick Napinski is the Director of Communications for EAA. Great stuff. Have a good weekend, Dick.
You too. Have fun out there.
You know, Nate's playing all the Styx music because they're my all-time favorite band. Styx is tonight at the BMO Pavilion. I've seen them there a couple times. It's a fantastic show. You can still get in to see that tonight, so come on down here. Sarah Pancari, the President and CEO of Milwaukee World Festival. And, of course, the lady in charge of Summerfest is with us here live in our mobile studio. Hi, Sarah.
Hello, my friends. Thank you for being down at Summerfest. Isn't it a beautiful festival?
Oh, what a beautiful view, yes. Everything.
Yesterday, fantastic. Today, fantastic. All right, we're going to have a lot of fun. Let's get some of the nuts and bolts out of the way first because they are important. The bag policy has changed, but it's really still super friendly. Tell us about the bag policy.
So the bag policy is consistent with most venues, I mean, including AmFam Field, Lambeau Field, I believe Camp Randall. It's a clear bag. So we've moved to a clear bag policy. You are able to bring a clutch 6x9, but there's no backpack. So really, I think if you've headed to a Brewer game and you've interfaced with their policy, ours is consistent. And really, it's really so that we're aligned with all the other great venues in Wisconsin.
I couldn't believe it that Summerfest was already here. Do you think that it'll ever go back to a full, I think it was 9 days, right? Or do you think it's going to go every weekend?
So previously we were 11 days.
11?
Yes. So it was 11 days. And I know that is a frequent question. After the pandemic, we moved into a three-day model, or three-weekend model, excuse me. And that, after surveying our patrons and really understanding how our patrons want to come to the festival and also how the booking cycles have changed and how we can get more exposure to the entertainment industry by having another weekend to book, it really is the model that we're going to pursue in the near future.
So for the musicians, it's more of a choice for them. It's been a little bit better for them.
Well, it just gives us another weekend, right? So it gives us another it opens up the calendar and allows us to make more offers to more artists.
Would the top-tier performers rather perform on a Friday, Saturday, Sunday versus a Tuesday or a Wednesday, or do they not look at it like that?
Well, I think they want to perform when the fans are going to be ready to come. And in our research, that really is the Thursday,
the weekend.
Friday, Saturday.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, I like it that way.
But I think that a great example, you know, when we were able to work in Garth Brooks, we had two very successful nights earlier this week.
Yeah.
And that was a matter of calendaring and knowing that Garth could work on those that Tuesday, that Wednesday. I would say that when we have an opportunity and when we're able to secure an artist that's going to sell out, we're happy to make those days work.
How incredible was that you got Garth?
It was pretty incredible. I in all candor, it was really a very, very special series of nights. And in particular, because what we did was we welcomed just under half of the ticket buyers were from out of state.
Wow.
So this idea that your nonprofit organization that runs Summerfest is able to attract people to Milwaukee, introduce them to this great hospitality community that we have, but then also they're in our hotels, they're in our restaurants, they're spending money. That really was a great boon for us to realize that we're serving our mission that way.
Sarah Pancari is with us. Approaching the 60th anniversary, it's not that far off now. What's the key, Sarah? I love how you guys continue to innovate and you continue to improve. How do you maintain the traditional stuff, the stuff that's traditional important to people, while keeping it fresh and innovating?
Well, I think, you know, and I hadn't really thought about our 60th yet, John, so thank you for just putting that right out there for me. Like, let's
get through this summer first.
Right? So thank you. No, but I think it's a matter of this incredible lineup that represents so many diverse artists, including, I mean, tonight in the amphitheater, Don Toliver, young, up-and-coming hip-hop artist. We can walk 100 yards and see one of your favorite Sticks,
yes.
a classic rock artist that is continually to do great for us. So it really is about the lineup. It's about introducing new experiences. If you haven't been to the American Family Insurance house, American Family Insurance literally builds a house right on our mid-gate and in our mid-gate area, and it's fantastic. And so adding all of these new activations as well as just keeping the lineup really fresh is a key to doing that. And I would tell you that generations of fans come here together, so it's very easy to keep some of those traditions alive, considering so many of our fans come back every year.
Do you get to see a lot of shows, Sarah, or is it, this is like your Super Bowl, so you're working really hard the weeks leading in, and then even the run of the show. Do you get to see a lot of the shows?
Well, what I would say, and what we try to tell folks that are working really hard to put this on, is that if you're not seeing a little music, you're not doing it right. So I do, last night I caught Third Eye Blind, a couple, and they're just fantastic. Passion yeah. Pit was great. And then I introduced myself to Tash Sultana. So it's
oh, fun.
Yeah, it was just, it's a fantastic way to, I don't catch all of the show, but I typically try to see as much music as I can because that's the secret of Summerfest.
What's your kind of music?
You know, I can go a couple different ways. I love a good 80s alternative. So last night with Modern English and Echo and the Bunnymen, that was a pretty cool night. But I also love a great, I'm a jam band gal as well. So, and everything in between, really. So,
what's the most memorable concert you've seen here at Summerfest? Or you can give us a couple. What are a couple that really stand out?
So as a fan,
yeah.
As a seasoned individual, I was able to see one of the early years in the amphitheater, the band In Excess, which doesn't tour anymore. I loved that show as a young person. And then just recently, I will say that watching Garth Brooks do what he does was phenomenal. So we're so fortunate to have so much music come through Milwaukee that it's kind of too hard to pick one.
Do you ever go to Scott Zeal and say, hey, is there any chance that you could help a girl out and get In Excess?
100%. He knows my favorite.
He knows your list?
He knows my list. And it's funny because there's a perennial ask out there. And I'll tell him, I said, Scott, they're not touring. Don't worry about it. But he usually puts in the offer just to make sure that we tried.
People are excited about Garth because he's only doing this place in North America.
He was here.
Did you see him cry?
I was not there for the tears, but yeah. I do know, and it's been communicated to us, how much he loved those shows and how much he loved Milwaukee.
The lakefront, you guys have beautiful grounds here, and Milwaukee World Festival does a lot more than Summerfest. It's kind of the crown jewel. How important is it that you maximize the dates that we use this beautiful facility on the lake?
You know, it is absolutely critical, and that's what our team is spending a lot of time looking at. Hopefully you've noticed over the past couple of years we've added events. Yeah. And our interest, you know, over the past 20 years, $187 million in private investment has gone into this beautiful park, which we believe is one of one. It is one of one in the world. And so our interest is how do we continue to use it while keeping our, of course, Summerfest and all of the ethnic and cultural festivals, you know, right at the heart of what we do. How do we use the shoulder seasons? A great example is the over acre play space that we opened in 2021. If you have a child or someone under, you know, 14 in your life, hopefully you've been here, it's an absolutely fabulous playground. We opened that up from March through November, and on non-event days, we're seeing tens of thousands, not an individual day, but over the season, we see, you know, tens of thousands of families come down and enjoy the park. So for us, it's how do we continue to use it? What events can we attract here, really, to help serve our nonprofit mission?
You should add another weekend.
There you go.
You want to be here. I think you want the studio here.
Yeah. That's true.
That's what we're doing here.
All summer.
You missed all that great food, though,
at the Third Street Market Hall. Yes.
I've grown so close to them.
Yes, true.
Sarah Pat Carey is the president and CEO of Milwaukee World Festival. Thanks for making some time for us. We appreciate it, Sarah. It's good to see you.
Thank you.
Wisconsin's Afternoon News on WTMJ.
All right, we're broadcasting live from Summerfest from the Pello Windows and Doors of Wisconsin Mobile Studio. A star rookie makes his debut. A trial takes an unexpected turn. The big gig begins in more. It's the Week in Review brought to you by Outdoor Living Unlimited.
What we do here is go back.
The deliberately worst-kept secret in Southeast Wisconsin is a secret no more. You could tell your parents.
My parents knew.
Okay, they knew.
But right. I did not tell my brother for quite a while.
Straw poll is a straw poll. It's a snapshot at a convention. Lieutenant Governor Sarah Rodriguez was the winner.
The three most likely nominees today are Mandela Barnes, Sarah Rodriguez, and Fran Hong. Everybody else, it's getting late.
Ridgeland Farms is releasing its remaining beagles. Robert F. Kennedy Jr. now chiming in.
We are committed to humane animal care and to replacing animal testing with effective alternatives wherever possible.
A complete game shutout from Jacob Mizorowski.
I was just trying to find a comp in any sport, and the one I came up with was Usain Bolt. It's like, oh, he had that still.
The finished and fabulous Bob Uecker mural in downtown Milwaukee.
I just wish it didn't end so quickly. That's what I really love about mural making, is just sharing your work with the world.
Day two in the Amandria Brunner trial. The defense says, hold on a second, the Marquette student was speeding.
Would these deaths have occurred even if Amandria was sober? And the evidence is going to show that they would have.
Wisconsinites spent $45 million on OnlyFans. They're spending a lot of money in Green Bay. What's going on up there?
There was an ongoing joke with one of my girlfriends that we would have a channel that was in toes, and that we would never have to show our face. Have you been following the story of this dive-bombing red-winged blackbird in Atwater Park?
A lot of people want to get up and walk around out there, maybe run out there, and got this dive-bombing bird. Watch out.
Not all of us are bird people.
Hey, I went to the ballpark yesterday.
Yeah.
Your 6'7 tall all-star was there, Jacob Mizorowski. 300 people lined up to get a moment with the Miz for a special ball signing. They raised more than $24,000, John.
That's great.
They announced the entire team. Here come your Milwaukee Brewers. Gets a slap on the back from Bryce Terang, and then out he goes by himself.
Go get him, kid. Enjoy the field by yourself. Soak it up. It's not about you, Cooper Pratt. It's about the Brewers. You're just a part of it.
A few moments later.
Line drive down the right field line, a base hit. And Cooper Pratt has his first big league run batted in.
54 years ago today, we had this huge crisis in Watergate. That was not a constitutional crisis. Richard Nixon followed the law. I maintain that today we are in a constitutional crisis.
It's been good for local businesses, but not for beer supplies.
I don't think Boston realized what was coming to it.
I recall something similar happening when the Wisconsin Badgers played UNLV out in Las Vegas. Bars that were running out of Miller Lite and some running out of brandy.
Green Bay Packers tight end Tucker Kraft. He's recovering from that torn ACL that he suffered last November.
I'm going to be the best tight end in the NFL.
Someone got a birthday.
A happy birthday. 40th
Thank
birthday.
You. 40th birthday.
June 1986 is when you came into this world.
It is.
With the deal officially signed between the U.S. and Iran, the agreement sets up a 60-day ceasefire to hammer out details on issues like Iran's nuclear program.
So not only did you get a present on your birthday, the country of Iran got a really big present.
Big present.
A jury in Milwaukee County finding Amandria Brunner not guilty on all six charges of causing the deaths of Marquette University lacrosse athletes.
The other guy involved in the collision, Peter McGolgan, it led to both of them being charged, and it's a fascinating strategy.
Once we solicited the expert, we were able to back that up, and his report really did bolster that defense for us.
The stages are set, and Milwaukee's lakefront is ready to rock. Broadcasting live from the Pella Windows and Doors of Wisconsin Mobile Studio at Summerfest.
We're on the lakefront path right behind the Gruber Sports Zone. Beautiful view of the lagoon. You're seeing all kinds of musical fandom because that's what we do here at the world's largest music festival.
What a week, eh?
What a week.
My grass is green.
Ladies and gentlemen, the weekend.
That's Don Tolliver. He's a headliner at the American Family Insurance Amphitheater tonight here at Summerfest. John and Julia with you here until 5:40. Then we're out of here because it's Brewers baseball up next. There's another big cool event going on this weekend. It's up at Elkhart Lakes Road America. It's the IndyCar weekend. It's super high profile. The best drivers in the world will be there. And so will Douglas Bowles. Doug is the president of IndyCar and the Indianapolis Motor Speedway. I had the chance to talk to Doug earlier today. It's a huge weekend for us here, and I'm going to ask you a couple questions about that in a minute, but I have to start by asking you about the iconic Indy Speedway. I grew up watching the Indy 500 with my grandpa year after year. It's part of my family tradition. What Indy 500 tradition means the most to you personally?
Well, being born and raised in Indiana, it's that moment when back home again in Indiana is performed just before the command is given to start the engines for the Indy 500. It's my favorite part of the 500. Frankly, it's my favorite 90 seconds of the year. So that's an easy one for me to answer.
So I was just reflecting on, you know, as I grew up, it was so big time. I mean, it was when A.J. Foyt was racing and the Unser brothers, then Elio Castroneves kind of moved in there. And I can think of so many individual moments that involved the race. The last couple of races have been incredible in Indy. Do you have a favorite moment or two of the 500?
Yeah, I think there's several of them for me. Obviously, my first Indy 500 coming with my dad as a 10-year-old in 1977, that was a really big deal for me. I still remember that every day I get to come to work. Elio Castroneves winning his fourth, A.J. Foyt winning his fourth.
Yeah,
I mean those are big moments. But hard to get much better than the finish of this year's Indy 500 in terms of big moments with Felix Rosenquist just barely getting across the start finish line to win this year's 500.
My bucket list is to get down there. Tell me what it's like to be in the infield or really close to the track when those cars are flying around. Paint the picture for me.
Yeah, the biggest thing is people don't really understand how big the facility is. You know, it's essentially a mile long by a half a mile wide, and inside the racetrack itself, it's the second largest city in the state of Indiana. It was 350,000 people here. That's the part that to me sticks out, that people just are amazed every time they get to see it. The cars are super fast, you know, 240 miles an hour heading down the straightaway. The loud noise, it's just a musical noise in a good way, but it's just being around all those people that it's one of those moments that if you get a chance to do it, you got to do it just to say you've been part of that big, huge crowd that shows up every year, and next year we get to do it for the 111th time.
How does racing at Indianapolis or at Road America balance preserving traditions with attracting younger audiences and changing?
That's one of the biggest challenges we have for sure, is trying to figure out what's so important to our DNA that you can't change it, but at the same time being prepared to change so that you get that next generation to be interested in. And in a lot of ways, the Indy 500 and the Indianapolis Motor Speedway is a lot like Road America. Road America is such a great facility, probably the best road course in the country in terms of its beauty and the event experience and the camping that goes on up there. It's so much more than a race, and it's been around for a long time. So the people that come are part of it, but we got to change enough to get young kids here. So we have a lot of music here at the Indianapolis Motor Speedway. I know that the folks at Road America are making that camping experience one that is a lot of fun, a lot of activity, a lot of freedom for people to wander around the facility. It's like being in a park, frankly. And those are the things that we all have to work on. We got to find that next generation that's going to carry on the tradition of IndyCar racing going forward.
What do the drivers think of the course at Road America?
You know, Road America is a place that if you were to ask the drivers, you know, what are your most important races on the NTT IndyCar Series schedule of 18 races, I think they would tell you it's in their top two or three because of the history, but because of the uniqueness. It's 4 miles long. It's got a super long, fast front straightaway. The corners are beautiful. You're going back through Canada Corner. You're driving through the woods. I mean, there's just something super unique about it. And then the number of people that show up and camp and are part of it. This would be one of the favorite facilities for drivers, not just because of the track itself, but because of the way the fans embrace the experience. And there are just so many fans throughout that huge four-mile racetrack.
Doug Boyles, the president of IndyCar, is with us on WTMJ. Is a road course more difficult than the oval? Is the oval more difficult, or is that not a fair comparison because they're so different?
They are really different, and I think it depends on who you are and how you were brought up in racing. There are people that are brought up, all they do is oval racing, and then it's really hard to adapt to a road course. And there are people that are brought up on the road course racing that it's hard for them to adapt. Although I would say that a road course driver has a better chance of adapting to the ovals. What's unique about the IndyCar Series is in order to win a championship, you have to be good on ovals, on the road course, and also on the street circuits where we actually race through downtown streets, and that's what makes our series so fun. So it sort of depends on who you talk to, but generally I think the road courses tend to be a little, and those folks that have a background in road course racing tend to be able to adapt across all of our disciplines better than folks that started on the oval side.
Indy coming to Road America this Father's Day weekend. Fans in Wisconsin and across the Midwest will be here, really across the world. What should fans expect when they come out for the full weekend, Doug?
Well, I think just the activity on track. So it's not just the Indy cars. It's the Indy Next Series, which is the step just below Indy car. It's a lot of the other support series of different race cars that are taking place. So there's always something on track. But what's great about Road America is just the experience. So walking around the facility, seeing the people at the concession stands, it's crazy to say, but the food offerings at Road America are something that really captures me every time I come. And it's an awful lot of fun. Every corner you go to is a different type of beer, a different type of food. And one of the best merchandise stores on the entire circuit, and frankly, in my mind, in terms of sporting facilities, is actually at Road America. And I go through there every year, and it's just amazing just to see the great merchandise, the great interesting things that you can pick up at that racetrack. So it's a great fan experience. It's a great time. I got my racing license at Road America in the middle 90s, and it's a really special place for me as well when I get to come back.
It's an amazing place with the paddock access, the family activities, all of that stuff. The track itself is, Doug, you know better than I do, kind of known for the combination of speed, elevation, the long straightaways, the big braking zones. You mentioned Canada Corner, the carousel. All that combined, what kind of racing does that create for IndyCar drivers and fans?
It creates some really good racing, and there's some strategy. It's not just who can go the fastest, right? They're thinking about fuel. They're thinking about saving tires, so tires last longer. So it is a race that also has some strategy to it, not just being the fastest on track. So that plays into it as well. And I think, you know, if you're at the braking zone going into turn five, for example, is a great passing zone, and the number of people that watch from down there. And as you said, the high speeds going into Canada Corner, or the high speeds at the end of the front straightaway, if you love to see that, are great locations to watch. There is massive elevation change coming up the front stretch as you come to the start-finish line. It's just one of those tracks that has so many unique experiences for the fans in terms of visually watching and for the drivers in terms of driving, and I think that's why they enjoy it so much.
All right, so it's Road America this weekend. You're back in Milwaukee later this year. We're very excited that that tradition is back in Milwaukee. What's it like to race the Oval in Milwaukee?
You know, there was a long period of time where every year after the Indy 500, the place that the IndyCar Series went was Milwaukee, and it has as much history as the Indianapolis 500. The racetrack there in Milwaukee is actually older than the Indianapolis Motor Speedway. So between Milwaukee, that's a mile long, and the Indianapolis Motor Speedway, it's 2.5 miles long. You know, we have two of the oldest racing facilities in the world, and it's really cool that we get a chance to run on both of them. The flat oval there produces very exciting racing, very fast racing, a lot of close racing, and it's a great opportunity for fans too. Fans can camp out in the infield, they can camp out outside there on the oval. So the opportunity for us to come up to Wisconsin twice a year means I get to go to the Cheese Castle four times on my way in and on my way out. You know, I'm that tourist, right? I'm the guy that has to stop and walk through the Cheese Castle.
I love it.
But, you know, we love coming to Wisconsin. We love Road America. Actually, I'm camping at Road America.
Wow. It's
the fun for me is camping there and then hanging out with the fans at night. And if somebody has not camped at Road America, even if you're not a race fan, you have to go to Road America and camp there. There is nothing like it on our entire circuit for sure, and not a lot like it in terms of opportunities for camping.
Incredible stuff. Going to be a great weekend. RoadAmerica.com is the website. Tickets are still available. Make it part of your Father's Day. RoadAmerica.com. Doug Bowles is the president of IndyCar and the Indianapolis Motor Speedway. Doug, thank you so much for making some time for us.
Yeah, thanks for having me. Love being up here in Wisconsin.